Okay, so last week we discussed the halachos of Shalosh Shudos, the third meal of Shabbos, and we discussed what a person is required to eat for Shalosh Shudos, and as far as different halachos of benching by Shalosh Shudos. What I'd like to do tonight, Be'ez Hashem, is to discuss some halachos of Havdalah. Now, for men, the halachos of Havdalah are pretty straightforward, certain halachos that some people do know of, some people do not know of, but for women it gets a little tricky. So let's discuss why that is the case. What's the difference between men and women in regards to Havdalah, and why that is the case. So the obligation of Havdalah, just as an introduction, the obligation of Havdalah, according to the Rambam, is based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk that we've quoted a number of times before, that we have in the Aseres HaDibros, that it says, Zochar es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho. That you should mention, you should remember, and Zochar also means to mention. So you mention the Shabbos Lekacho, to sanctify it, to make it holy. So the Rambam understands that how do we sanctify the Shabbos? How do we mention the Shabbos by sanctifying it? So one way that's obvious is by we make Kiddush. We make Kiddush Friday night, and that is a Torah obligation that's obligated midaraisa, because that's what the Pasuk is telling us to do, to mention Shabbos to sanctify it. The Rambam understands that included in that is Havdalah. That Havdalah, not only do we mention Shabbos when it begins, but we mention Shabbos as it leaves. That now that this holy day is departing, and this holy day has left us and is leaving right now, so then we mention it again. So according to the Rambam, Havdalah is obligated according to Torah law. A lot of people do not realize that is the Rambam's opinion, that we're obligated by Torah law to make Havdalah every Matzah Shabbos when Shabbos is over. According to that it's based on simply the Pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros, then you would understand, as we mentioned a few times, that women would be obligated in Havdalah just as much as men. Because as we mentioned, that any positive commandment of Shabbos, and especially if it's included in the words of Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, then it's an obligation in the Torah, and it's an obligation of Shabbos. And we said that women are obligated in all positive commandments of Shabbos, for sure in all the negative commandments of Shabbos, but they're included in all the positive commandments of Shabbos, and this is included in the Pasuk, in the verse of Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, and according to that, women would be obligated just as much. However, there are those that disagree, and they say that this is not included in the Pasuk in Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, about mentioning to sanctify the Shabbos. This is just simply an enactment midrabbanan. It's something that the Rabbanan, the rabbis, made up at a later time. Even according to the Rambam, so that was, we have one more. Some say that it's midrais, and some they know that it's only necessary on a rabbinic level, and there are those that say that even if it's only necessary on a rabbinic level, midrabbanan, but still women could be obligated in that as well. There's definitely a possibility that even if it's only obligated midrabbanan, but women would be obligated in that. Almost everybody holds, that which we make Havdalah over a cup of wine, or a cup of grape juice, then that, according to even the Rambam, that would be only obligated midrabbanan, only rabbinically to go do it over a cup of wine. As we discussed last week, some of the halachos, as you know, that to fulfill the obligation of Havdalah, really all you need is just to say the words Hamavda ben Kodesh Lachal, Baruch Hamavda ben Kodesh Lachal. So we discussed a little bit last week as far as, let's say Baruch Hamavda ben Kodesh Lachal, and then you realize you never benched from Shalosh Shudos, or just in general, if a person wants to go ahead and turn on the lights, or do work that they would not be allowed to do on Shabbos, or just in general about other Saturday night stuff like changing your clothes and things like that. So preferably you should say Baruch Hamavdim and Kodesh Lachal first, because according to the letter of the law, that's all it requires. We do extra special, we do it over a cup of wine. But according to the letter of the law, all you need to say is Baruch Hamavdim and Kodesh Lachal, or the men that daven Ma'ariv, they say a paragraph called Atachon Antanu. For the men in Shul, they'll know that. But that's to take care of the obligation of Havdalah. Now, those that say, and this is where it gets tricky for the women, that those that say that if the obligation of Havdalah is only midrabbanan, then women would not be obligated in Havdalah. Now, why would that be? The reason why women would not be obligated in Havdalah will be the difference between men and women, is because really Havdalah, when is Havdalah made? Havdalah is made after Shabbos. So we've said many times that women are obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos, whether it's Daraisa or whether it's Darabonim. But Havdalah that's made after Shabbos, so perhaps they're not obligated. Because we know the rule is that women are not obligated in any mitzvah that comes at a set time. Mitzvah sasesha's man grama. But the exception is Shabbos. All the mitzvahs of Shabbos are obligated. But Havdalah is a mitzvah that comes after Shabbos. So therefore there are some opinions that women are not obligated in Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos. Now, since if we have some opinions that say they are obligated in Havdalah, and we have some opinions that say that they are not obligated in Havdalah, the women are not obligated in Havdalah, so of course, needless to say, on our standard Matzah Shabbos, on after Shabbos, of course, a woman should go ahead and hear Havdalah. There are many that say that she is obligated to hear Havdalah. So therefore, of course, a woman should go ahead and should make sure to hear Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos. However, preferably, a woman should not make Havdalah by herself. And let's say she comes home, and let's say a woman lives alone, or she missed Havdalah from her husband. She went to visit a friend by Shalosh Shuddos. Her husband went to Shul, and she went to her friend's house, and the husband came home and didn't know where she was. Of course, she didn't have her cell phone with her, so he made Havdalah before she got a chance to come home, and he thought she would hear by the neighbor's house, and she thought she wanted to come home. So she's home alone. She's home, and everybody else in the house heard Havdalah. So we need to discuss what should a woman do in such a situation. So preferably, she should not make Havdalah for herself. Why? Because since perhaps she's not obligated in Havdalah, so definitely she could hear Havdalah from somebody else, but preferably a woman should not make Havdalah by herself. Even if she could open up a bencher or a sitter and read the words and do exactly like she sees her husband do every other Matzah Shabbos, but preferably she should not make Havdalah by herself. So we have to discuss what should be done in such a situation. So before we just till we get to what should she do in such a situation, there's other reasons why, even if she shouldn't make Havdalah by herself, the reason why she shouldn't make Havdalah by herself, because perhaps she's not obligated, is it's a bracha levatalah. Because you'll know by a Havdalah, besides the blessing of Hagafen over the cup of wine, that's not a problem because she'll drink the wine. But there's also the fire, the bracha on the fire. And where do we just get up and make a bracha over seeing fire? That's only if you have an obligation of Havdalah. Also, after the fire, you know that there's a separate bracha afterwards. That last bracha, that's a separate bracha. If a woman is not obligated to make Havdalah, then she's making that bracha for no reason, for no purpose. So that's why also, preferably, she should not be making her own Havdalah. So we have to discuss what should one do in such a situation. Also, this is something that could be you've heard of, based on Kabbalah. Kabbalah is, you know, things that go on in Shemayim, in the heavens, and there are many things that we don't really know about Kabbalah, but we just follow with what the Sfarim tell us about Kabbalah, that it's written in the Kabbalah Sfarim that women should not drink from the wine of Havdalah. Did you ever hear that? That women should not drink from the wine of Havdalah. Everyone, you know, a lot of people know about, if a woman drinks from the wine of Havdalah, she's going to grow a beard. Where does that come from? I don't know. You say, okay, it seems like you've never heard of that. But does it say that anywhere? I don't know if it says that anywhere. But that's something that, you know, a legend that people always say. But that is true, that based on Kabbalah, that a woman should not drink Havdalah wine. What's the reasoning behind it? And any of you know? Why is it that she shouldn't drink from the wine of Havdalah? So the reason given is because one of the opinions of what the Eitz Hadas, what type of fruit tree was the Eitz Hadas, the tree that Adam and Chava ate, the first Avera, the day they were created, they did the Avera of eating from the Eitz Hadas. So a lot of people think that the Eitz Hadas was an apple, right? But there are four opinions what type of tree was the Eitz Hadas. There are four opinions in the Gemara and in the Medrash. None of the opinions are that it was an apple. One of the opinions is that it was a grape. That it was a grape tree, it was a grapevine. The other opinions are that it was either a wheat tree, a wheat stalk, or an esrog tree, or a fig tree. Those are the four opinions, none of which are apples, but although for whatever reason the apples is the famous one, but it doesn't say that anywhere. What it says is that one opinion is that it was a grape tree. Now what happened with this grape tree? We know that I could, but we mentioned this before. By Chala it's mentioned, and by Hadlokas Neros, that Chava, the first woman, she took from the Eitz Hadas and she gave to eat to Adam. She convinced Adam and Rishon, the first man, to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So to speak, the women have like a there's something negative to all women that come from Chava, all the women that were connected to Chava, something negative in regards to the grapes of the Eitz Hadas. Now what happens by the grapes of the Eitz Hadas? She gave it to feed Adam Rishon, and because of that they were kicked out of Gan Eden. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. When were they kicked out of Gan Eden? On Matzah Shabbos. They were kicked out of Gan Eden on Matzah Shabbos. Hashem didn't want to ruin their first Shabbos, so therefore Hashem didn't kick them out until after Shabbos was over, until Matzah Shabbos. So it's because of the grapes that we had, that the Chava has a special negative connection to the grapes, to Matzah Shabbos, and therefore Havdalah wine, which comes from grapes, wine or grape juice, women should not drink from the wine of Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos. Now this would be true even if their husband makes the kid, even if their husband makes the Havdalah. I know my kids, every time I make Havdalah, my kids want to drink from the wine. So my 7-year-old daughter, I don't stop her. It's based on Kabbalah. It's not a big deal. I shouldn't say it's not a big deal. I didn't mean to say that. But it's based on Kabbalah. So my 7-year-old daughter, she wants to drink from the wine. You know, I don't stop her. But an adult, a girl that's an adult, you know, she's thirsty. She wants to take a drink. So she should not drink from the wine or from the grape juice because of that Kabbalah reason. And that will be true whether she makes her own Havdalah or whether she does not make her own Havdalah. But that is another reason why preferably a woman should not make her own Havdalah, because if she makes her own Havdalah, she's going to have to drink. And we prefer her not to drink from the wine. We have to discuss, let's say she ends up making her own Havdalah, so we'll get to that in a second. Should she drink?
Yeah. Who else would drink from the wine besides the person making Havdalah?
Well, somebody else who wants to drink. She just wants to, she's thirsty, she wants to get a drink, she wants to taste. Oh, you opened up a new bottle of wine for Havdalah, so she wants to try the wine, she wants to see how it tastes, you know. It could be the wife would want to take a drink, so she shouldn't drink from the Havdalah. But also, that's first of all, and second of all, is because if a woman has an opportunity, let's say she missed Havdalah from her husband, so now there's an option. She could make Havdalah by herself, or she could go to a neighbor and hear Havdalah. So another reason why it's preferable to hear from the neighbor is because preferably that she shouldn't have to drink from the wine. So that's what we're going to discuss. So that's the next thing we're going to say. The best thing is to hear in a regular situation is to hear from her husband or from her father or something like that. If a woman comes home and she missed Havdalah from her husband, the husband cannot make Havdalah again for her. Even though, let's say, by Kiddush, we find that he can make Kiddush again for her. But over here, but that's because what's called a Reivim Zel, Kol Yisrael, a Reivim Zel Azeh, if you have not fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush, so then it's like I'm lacking, and I haven't fulfilled my obligation of Kiddush, so I can make Kiddush again for my wife, even though I heard Kiddush and she didn't. But by Havdalah, since there are some opinions that women are not obligated in Havdalah, so I can't say that, oh, let me make Havdalah again for my wife. I didn't realize she didn't hear Havdalah yet. Now she comes home. Let me make Havdalah again for my wife. That cannot be done, because since perhaps my wife is not obligated in Havdalah, so therefore if I'm making Havdalah again, that is a bracha levatala. Because why am I making Havdalah for my wife if perhaps she's not obligated?
So what if another, let's say, friend comes over, male, okay, my husband's making Havdalah, this other man just answers on me, but is he still Yotzi Havdalah?
So yes, so if he had in mind to be Yotzi Havdalah,
then he went home to make Havdalah for his wife.
Well, he shouldn't. If he had in mind to be Yotzei Havdalah from your husband,
by the way, like, where's your wife here in Havdalah? Oh, I'm going home to, like, say Havdalah.
Okay, so he should not fulfill his mitzvah.
I never know. Like, okay, fine, I'm going home to make Havdalah.
Right, okay. But you're right. A lot of people do not realize this. But he could listen and say amen. He's allowed to say amen to your husband's Havdalah. But he should have in mind that he's not fulfilling his mitzvah.
No, it's good to know, because this way.
Yeah, sometimes you'll have. Right, yeah, sometimes, you know. You'll be the knowledgeable one. You start telling them, right, no, 100%. But it could be if the person's a mature individual, he'll appreciate it. He'll say, okay, I didn't realize it. He'll look into it. But if a man who already. Okay, fine. You know better than me, you know, the situation that you would be in. But that is the halacha, that if a man already fulfilled their mitzvah of Havdalah, whether it's in Shul or whether it's by someone else's house, and then they want to make Havdalah for their wife, for their daughter, for something like that, then they should not, because
But he could have in mind that he's not being
Yotze the Havdalah, fulfilling the Havdalah, but he could definitely say Amen, for sure, 100%. Right. He's allowed to say Amen. There's any time he's allowed to say Amen to anyone's bracha, but I'm not fulfilling my mitzvah Havdalah because I know I need to go home and make Havdalah for my wife. So let's say the wife comes home and the husband already made Havdalah. So what should she do? The husband, we said already, can't make Havdalah for her, and her son, who's bar mitzvah, who fulfilled the mitzvah from his father, also can't, because he fulfilled his mitzvah already. So what should be done? So the second best option, meaning you already missed Havdalah from your husband, the second best is to hear from a neighbor that didn't make Havdalah yet. Now,
you should go really searching for another.
So the question is, how far do you have to go searching? It's hard to know exactly. You know, let's say I know my next door neighbor always davens at a later minyan. So I could go to my next door neighbor and I'll wait for my next door neighbor, for the husband to come home, and then he'll make Havdalah for me. If you can do that, that'll be the best. That'll definitely be the best. Because this way you don't have to make your own personal Havdalah. Because like we said, you may not be obligated, and then it is perhaps a bracha levatala, and you'll be drinking from the wine, which is not preferable. If you can't go to a neighbor, or perhaps, maybe you would have to ask a shal about this, let's say you're very, very embarrassed. I don't know, I don't see why someone would be embarrassed, but let's say it's a girl, 16, 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old girl, she's embarrassed to go to her neighbor, to hear Havdalah. So then, in such a situation, the place can say that she should make Havdalah for herself. Then she's allowed to, because there are plenty of opinions that say that she is obligated to make Havdalah. So therefore, in a situation where there is no man to hear Havdalah from, she's not obligated to go up and down the block knocking on all the doors with a mezuzah, did you make Havdalah yet? Did you make Havdalah yet? You don't have to. There are plenty of places that say that she is allowed to make Havdalah, so therefore she would make her own Havdalah, you would make your own Havdalah, and you would drink from the wine. Even though based on Kabbalah, it's preferable not to drink from the wine, but once you do make your own Havdalah, because you missed from your husband, and you can't, it's too hard to get from a neighbor, you would make your own Havdalah and you would drink from the wine. Because it's only based on Kabbalah that you don't drink from the wine. Once you make the bracha of Hagafen and all those brachas, then we say the halacha wins out over Kabbalah. That's always the rule that we say. And you would drink.
So then, Baruch Magid and Kodesh Lachol, what exactly is the difference?
So that fulfills your obligation, okay, perhaps, and on a Daraisa level. Right, so and then you could do Malach. That's not enough. We still have an obligation to do Havdalah ala kos, to do Havdalah over a cup of wine. And even though most Rishayim say that that's only obligated on a Darabanan level, but you're still obligated to do that. And on the chance...
I didn't hear it over the phone, you said.
So that's the next thing we're going to say.
It does. It is.
The Paiskim say it's better, even for a woman who there's a slight chance that she's not obligated in Havdalah, it's better for you to make Havdalah by yourself and drink the wine than to hear Havdalah over the phone. If a person has access to Havdalah in the hospital, it's a holy name and they don't have a... No? Okay, fine. So if not, so perhaps it's better than nothing. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's better than nothing. You could hear over the telephone. But... I would think over there, if your husband's going to come, let's say someone has a baby on a Thursday or Friday, and your husband's going to come later Matzah Shabbos or on Sunday, quite possibly you should have to make your own Havdalah. Again, even on Sunday, like we discussed, like we're going to get to shortly, if a person misses Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, they didn't have Havdalah the entire Matzah Shabbos, so they would make Havdalah on Sunday. They have up until sunset on Tuesday to make Havdalah. We have to discuss the halachos of eating and drinking before Havdalah and how that plays out. If you make, you have to fast until Tuesday. We'll get there in a few minutes. But it could be that if all you heard was Havdalah over the phone, you would have to make Havdalah on Sunday. I think that's really the halacha, that over the phone is really not preferable, and definitely it's not preferable, and I don't think you'd be considered to be Yotze your mitzvah if you have an opportunity to make Havdalah on Sunday. Meaning, like, I think the example we gave, let's say some old lady in Miami and her kids live in New York, and they became religious, and once they became religious, so she starts starting to light candles, and here's Havdalah. So she's not going to, this 80-year-old grandmother, she's living alone, she's not going to make her own Havdalah. That's just a fact. She's not going to make her own Havdalah. So can she hear over the phone from her children? I know someone in Passaic who does that. She can now, his mother passed away, but elderly mother, and he used to make Havdalah for her over the phone. While he made Havdalah, she listened. He didn't make it again a second time, of course, but he did it for over the phone, better than nothing. That was the best she was going to get, so it's better than nothing. But someone who's a firm person who's able to make Havdalah by themselves, it's just a matter of getting the wine and the psalmim and things like that, so you would get it At a later time, you know, even if you already heard it over the phone, I would think you'd have to say it. Okay, if a woman does make havdalah in such a situation, then she's allowed to be yotzei, should be motzi other people, other women. She can be motzi other women and also children. I mean, she can't say havdalah for a man. Like we said before, for sure, the man should be saying havdalah for her. But if, let's say, you have two women who are in the same situation, right? Let's say, you know, two daughters come home and they come home late and they miss their father's havdalah. So the halacha is that, like we said, preferably they should go to a neighbor. If they can't go to a neighbor, so then one of the daughters would make havdalah for herself, and she could be motzi another girl, because they're on the same level. Either they're both chayev, and if we, or they're both not, but we say that, you know, in the last situation, she's allowed to make havdalah, and she's able to make havdalah for another girl as well, another woman. Okay, now we were saying before, as far as if you want to do malacha, if you want to do work, you want to turn on the lights and things like that, turn on the radio, turn on your cell phone, you're just say Baruch Hamav the Makotah Shalchal, and then you're good to go. You could do those other malachos. But there is something that you're not allowed to do, even if you say Baruch Hamavdil, you're not allowed to do before Havdalah, and that is, as we talked about before, a person is not allowed to eat or drink. A person is not allowed to eat or drink or chew gum or something like that until they hear the actual Havdalah over a cup of wine. It happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch says that water is permitted. Water is permitted. However, the Arizal says that even water should not be done. If a person is very, very thirsty, a person is really not feeling well and they really need a drink, so definitely they would be allowed to drink water before they make Havdalah. They can't wait till their husband comes home, and their husband's coming home in, you know, 10 minutes, and they're gonna hear Havdalah from them. They're not gonna have to make their own Havdalah. But they just really, really need a drink of water, then by all means, you know, a person would be allowed to do that. But I just think on a standard regular Shabbos, I don't think we're that thirsty that we need to have something to eat or drink. Once we bench already from Shalosh Shuddos, we can't eat or drink from, because it's considered before Havdalah, we're not allowed to eat or drink anything before Havdalah. Another halacha, okay, let's, as far as what we spoke about before, if a person missed Havdalah, if you didn't have the Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, so then we said we have up until Tuesday, sunset on Tuesday, to say Havdalah. That's for men and for women. As far as eating, so let's say a person doesn't have access to any Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, but they know they're going to get access to Havdalah on Sunday morning. So do they have to not eat all the way up until Sunday morning? So the halacha is the following. If a person knows, that's it, the whole Matzah Shabbos, there's no way I'm going to be getting access to any Havdalah, I don't have any wine, I don't have any grape juice, person's in the hospital or something, and they're not going to have any access to grape juice, and let's say they don't have anyone to hear, listen over the phone or something like that. And so once they know that tonight I'm not making Havdalah, so then they're allowed to go ahead and eat. Then they're going to, they're not obligated to fast till Sunday. But if they're waiting for the wine to come, their husband's coming to the hospital and they're going to bring them the wine, or a person knows that, you know, in a half hour I'm going to be able to go to a neighbor's house and borrow grape juice, so then a person, they're anticipating, that's the word, if they're anticipating to make Havdalah in the near future tonight, then they should not eat or drink before Havdalah is made. But if they know they're not going to be eating, making Havdalah till tomorrow, then they would be allowed to eat tonight. And you think, okay, what's the chances? Who doesn't get a chance to make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos? It really happens. Like we said, if a person's in the hospital, person is on an airplane or things like that, or there's different situations where a person's on the run, and these halachos are the types of halachos you need to know in advance. I mean, you don't necessarily, when you're on the road and these halachos come up, or you're in a hospital and these halachos come up, that's not when you have a chance to ask a rav or to ask your husband and things like that, or to find out. These are the type of things you need to know in advance. The Mishnah Berurah says something interesting that people do not realize, I think. I didn't realize this until I saw this in the Mishnah Berurah, that the tablecloth, the Shabbos tablecloth, a lot of people have, you know, during the week they have either no tablecloth or they have a weekday type of tablecloth. On Shabbos they have a special Shabbos tablecloth. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should keep the tablecloth on the table until after Havdalah is over. Until after Havdalah is over. Once you make Havdalah, then you could start cleaning up and making the house weekday ish, you know, like not Shabbos-tick. But once until Havdalah is made, you should have the Shabbos tablecloth on the table. There are some wives that are very, very efficient, and if their husbands just take an extra few minutes in shul, they've already got the entire house cleaned up. I'm sure the husbands love that. But, you know, they already started to clean up, and the dishes are already done, and they can wash dishes. But the Shabbos tablecloth, the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, that should still be on the table up until after Havdalah is made. Okay, let's just discuss a few of the halachos of the psamim and the candle. Some of the halachos of the psamim, right, we know that on Matzah Shabbos we smell the spices, the nice, the good smelling spices, and we make a bracha of Bar Minei Psamim, and we smell the spices. Why do we do that? Why do we do that on Matzah Shabbos? So there's a few reasons given. The famous reason is because every Shabbos a person gets the neshama yisera, which means an extra soul. If you translate it like that, a person gets a neshama yisera. And when Shabbos leaves, the neshama yisera leaves as well. And it's probably a spiritual type of thing, but when the neshama leaves, then the person's body feels bad, and they're a little bit down, or their whole spirit is lower now because their neshama leaves. And then when a person smells the psamim, the Gemara tells us that a person smells the psamim, so then that invigorates them, that livens them up, and that makes them feel better. So that's why we smell the psamim on Matzah Shabbos, because the neshama yisera, the extra neshama that we had on Shabbos, is now leaving. Why do we have a neshama yisera on Shabbos? Where does that come from? So The first commentary that we always look at for these type of things is Rashi. It's the Gemara that tells us that we have an Neshama Yisera. It's Gemara and Be'ah. And Rashi says that the reason why we have an Neshama Yisera, very interesting, is because of all the extra food that we have. We have tons of extra food on Shabbos, all different types of food that we're not used to eating during the rest of the week. And it's very hard for our bodies to manage such new food. You know, like we have chont. I mean, chont has meat and potatoes and beans, and a lot of people eat chont on an empty stomach. They don't eat until like 11:30 in the morning, and then they have chont. How is our body able to cope with that, to manage that? Says Rashi, that's the Neshama Yisera. Because we have all these different types of extra foods on Shabbos, so our Neshama Yisera is able to handle that. It makes our body handle it. There's others, as a matter of fact, that's why on Matzah Yom Kippur, it's a big discussion, should there be psamim on Matzah Yom Kippur or not? Right? We all know that on Matzah Yom Kippur, right after Yom Kippur is over, even if Yom Kippur falls out in the middle of the week, we still make Havdalah. So there's a discussion, do we have psamim or not? Do we have to smell the psamim? So the Mishnah Berurah says that since on Yom Kippur we fast, so there's no Neshama Yisera. What does that have to do with anything? But the reason is because of this Rashi. The whole reason why we have the Neshama Yisera is because of all that extra food. So on Yom Kippur we fast, so we don't need the Neshama Yisera, according to that reason. But there's other reasons given why we have a Neshama Yisera. I think what most people would, if I would have asked you, why do we have a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos? So I don't think you would have told me because of extra food. You probably would have said the reason that other Mefarshim give, other commentaries say, is because the extra special, the specialness, the Kedusha of Shabbos, the tranquility of Shabbos, the special aura of Shabbos, that brings along with it a spiritual Neshama Yisera. And it's because of that reason that a person gets the Neshama Yisera on Shabbos, because of that, the holiness of the special day. And of course you could understand, as Shabbos ends and the Neshama Yisera departs from us, so then that also makes us feel bad when we lose the Neshama Yisera. So there, according to that reason, it's really nothing to do with food per se, but it's because of just in general the Neshama Yisera, something more spiritual that a person has. And now that it leaves, so we smell the psamim to take care of that. There's a third reason given, which some of you may have heard of, and that is a reason given by the Bach, who is one of the major commentaries on Halacha, and he says that Gehenim is closed every Shabbos. All the souls that after a person dies, a person sometimes needs to go to Gehenim, and it's closed on Shabbos. It's closed for business on Shabbos. On Matzah Shabbos, now that Shabbos is over, Gehenim opens up again. Now it's back open for business, and all the people, all the souls that need to go back inside Gehenim, Matzah Shabbos, they go back. Says the Bach that Gehenim smells very bad, and maybe probably a more of a spiritual type of smell. So to counteract that bad smell that opens up on Matzah Shabbos, so we have the psamim. We have the good smelling spices to smell on Matzah Shabbos to counteract what Gehenim opens. That's a little bit less of a famous reason. The more famous reason is the Neshama Yisera, but those are a few reasons given for the reason why we have psamim. A person needs to be careful as far as the psamim, what to use. So I think the standard thing that most people use is cloves, right? You'd even buy it in any, you know, kosher supermarket. You buy the psamim, the cloves, and you say the bracha of Boromini and psamim. Any naturally grown spices really can be used. It doesn't have to be cloves. It could be cinnamon, it could be hadassim. The hadassim leaves also have a nice smell. Something that's naturally grown spices, that is also allowed to be used for psamim, but it can't be perfume, because that's from chemicals. Even though perfume smells very nicely, or cologne or something like that, but that's made out of chemicals, that's not naturally grown. If a person needs to know, eventually the psamim, they don't smell anymore, they die out. A person needs to make sure that they have a good smell still. Eventually, after a few months, after a couple of years, eventually it's not going to smell good anymore, it's not going to have a smell whatsoever. Every Matzah Shabbos, or Moshe Feinstein would smell the psamim before Havdalah to make sure they still smell. And he wouldn't make a bracha because he wasn't doing it for the purpose of the pleasure of the smell. He was just doing it just to check, you know, testing 1, 2, 3, just to make sure they smell. And then by Havdalah, he would make the actual bracha. If a person, let's say a person is not able to smell, let's say a person has a stuffed nose and they have a cold, so then the halacha is that they can't make psamim, they can't make the bracha psamim. If somebody else makes the bracha psamim, they could say amen. I'd imagine they could say amen. But if a person is not sure, a person has a stuffed nose, and they need to, they're not sure if they're able to smell, they would have to do like a Moshe Feinstein and check out if they're able to smell. So if a husband, one time I had a cold for a very long time and I wasn't able to smell Matzah Shabbos, so my wife made the bracha psamim. She didn't have much of an option, and my wife made the bracha psamim for herself. I didn't smell. There was no way I could smell. I didn't taste anything the whole Shabbos. And my kids, you know, also they smelled the psamim. But my wife made the bracha psamim, and I made the rest of Avdol.
My husband lost his sense of smell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he had some sinus surgery. And
okay.
He doesn't really smell, so we all know that somebody has to make the bracha.
Oh, really?
So when the guests are there, they get very surprised. You know, like,
right, like you just hand it over.
It. My sons usually are around. They'll take it and
oh, okay.
Make the bracha. Otherwise,
and they'll make the bracha for everybody.
Yeah.
They make the bracha for everybody. Right, but let's say none of the sons are around.
Then I do it.
Then you do yourself. Okay, that's a perfect example. Right, so somebody who, the Shulchan Aruch's example is somebody who has lost the chush hareach, someone who has lost the ability to smell, and the Pesukim say it's the same thing by somebody who just this week happens to have a stuffed nose.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, that's, I didn't know anyone personally that. I saw your husband this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yesterday, by Bris. I think he has to buy the Lichter Bris. I think I saw it. Could be. Maybe that's why I saw
him. No, I don't think he was there.
No? Maybe so. I definitely saw him in the past couple of days. Maybe I saw him somewhere.
What house do you have bar mitzvah? In order to make the bracha, let's say you're okay.
Mine are.
To fulfill the bracha, to be yoti okay. Somebody else,
yeah.
Then
right.
Yeah, they would have to. They would have to. But for themselves, yeah. You know, they could do for themselves. If that, even
but
if they're less than bar mitzvah.
Uh-huh. So, but they're also yod saying my husband. Like he
what?
Always tries afterward. You know,
oh, yeah, okay.
Pass around. So he would need somebody else there.
Right.
As an adult to do it, even although
right,
he
if he wants
to,
but he really doesn't have to. I
right.
When I had that
yeah,
much of Shabbos and I had stuffed
smell.
Nose, and I didn't even try to smell.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't smell. And
yeah.
Or maybe I don't remember. I tested it before. I don't remember. But if your husband doesn't have that ability to smell, so then he's
yeah.
Not obligated to summon. And as far as the Neshama Yisera, he still gets a Neshama Yisera. I don't know, maybe if your husband's sad on a Matzah Shabbos, you know, now you know why.
Yeah.
He lost the Neshama Yisera. Okay, just a few halachos as far as eish, as far as the fire of on Matzah Shabbos. So, why do we make a bracha over fire on Matzah Shabbos? We never find, you know, we have pleasure from fire throughout the rest of the week, or pleasure from lights during the rest of the week. We don't make a bracha. Why are we making a bracha on a given Saturday night on Matzah Shabbos over the eish, over the fire? So, as above, as we talked about before, Adam was sent out of Gan Eden on Matzah Shabbos. Adam and Chava, they were sent out, he was kicked out of Gan Eden on Matzah Shabbos. It was Rosh Chodesh, right? It was time of the month was Rosh Chodesh when this happened. And Rosh Chodesh, you know, there's no moon. So there's no moon, so it was very, very dark. So there was no moon, and he was outside of Gan Eden. Gan Eden, I imagine there was light, that wasn't a problem. But outside of Gan Eden, and there was no moon, so it was very dark. So Hashem put in Adam Rishon's brain that he thought of taking two rocks and scraping them together, and he created a fire. And a fire was used for light. So since Eish, since fire was created on Matzah Shabbos, on the first Matzah Shabbos, so to commemorate that, there's different explanations what it is exactly, if it's Berachas Hanah, it's Berachas HaShvach, but simply put, to commemorate the fact that Adam created fire on Matzah Shabbos, we have a special bracha on fire, Matzah Shabbos, because we gain so much from fire. Okay, nowadays from electricity, some people could think, oh, we don't really gain so much from fire, but you could understand over thousands of years how much we gain from fire. It was our light, it was our warmth, we cook with it, even nowadays we cook with fire. It was so much that we gain from fire, so since it was created on Matzah Shabbos, so to commemorate that, we make a bracha, a special bracha, on the fire, Matzah Shabbos. You need to have benefit, that which we make a bracha on the fire, has to be that we're able to get benefit from the fire on Matzah Shabbos. So now, that is, and as far as getting benefit from the light, there are those that say that you need to actually get benefit from the candle, Matzah Shabbos, when you make the bracha. If I'm making avdol over here, and you're sitting all the way at the other end of the table, there are those that are makbid, that you come closer. Or, what you could do is, some people, or Moshe Feinstein used to do, is to close the lights. Of course, you say Baruch HaMavdil Makodesh Lachol first, or whoever switches off the lights says Baruch HaMavdil first. And then you switch off the light, and then the fire, even though from this distance, you'll be able to get benefit from it, you'll be able to get pleasure from the candles, and this way you know you're getting benefit, and this way you can make the bracha. Other people do not turn off the lights. You guys turn off the lights by Havdalah? You do? Yeah. Do you? You all do. Okay, we don't. My father never did. So sometimes they do, sometimes we don't, but in my house we don't. The Chazon Ish and the Stipler, they do not turn off the lights. And what they say is that you don't have to actually get benefit from the candles. All you have to do is be within a close enough distance that you would be able to get benefit from the candles. But you don't have to actually get benefit from the candles. Even though the lights are on, the electricity is on, as long as I'm in close enough that I would be able to get benefit from the candles, that would be good enough.
Isn't that why we look to see?
So exactly. That's why we look to see what the Shulchan Aruch says is how much benefit you have to be able to get. So you have to get enough benefit that you'd be able to tell the difference between two different types of coins. Mm-hmm. So now, we don't No, based on that one, that's too vague of a way to do that. So therefore we say that similar to that is to tell the difference between the nails and the skin of our fingers. Okay? Based on Kabbalah, we bend the fingers in like this. Also, when we look at the palms of our hands. But besides that, we look at the difference between the nails and the skin. And you don't need so much light to be able to tell the difference between the nails and your skin. But enough light, at least, to tell that difference. There's reasons why specifically the nails. One, like I said already, is because we say that that's similar enough to between the difference between two coins. But there's another connection for nails to Adam and Chava. You know of? Right. Because after they sinned, before they did the Avera, they did not have any clothes. After they did the Avera, then Hashem gave them clothes, and the first clothing that they had was, it says that they were covered, before they did the sin, they were covered with like a skin that was similar to our nails. After the Avera was done, then all that type of nail covering was minimized, and it ended up just by their fingernails. So since beforehand, before the Avera, they had that covering of the nails. So, like we spoke about before, the connection between Havdalah, Matzah Shabbos, Techava, and Adam, and the Aveira, and they were kicked out on Matzah Shabbos from Gan Eden, so then that is also somewhat of a connection to the nails. That's another reason why we choose to show the difference between the nails and the skin. The candle on Havdalah needs to be an avuka, needs to be two wicks. Two wicks, meaning you can't just take a single match and use that for the candle of Havdalah. Now, if you buy a Havdalah candle in the store, most of the times they're already two wicks. Obviously, any kosher place that's going to make Havdalah candle is going to be two wicks. But you have to be careful. This happens to be happening right now to my Havdalah candle because I've already been having it for over a year. It was like three wicks that are very close to each other, but now they're already getting separate. They're getting shorter, and you have to make sure that the two flames are touching each other. It could be three or four or five, but at least two flames should be touching each other. It shouldn't be a single wick. if it's two wicks that are intertwined one in another, you know, like have like braided, that's all considered one. It has to be two separate wicks that the flame is, that it's close enough that the flame is able to, you know, touch each other. As far as electric lights, there's a big discussion. Can electric lights be done, be used for Havdalah? Some say yes, some say no. Because for Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, you need an Eish, like we spoke about before, for Adam Rishon. So the question is this chandelier right here, is that considered a fire? According to Halacha, is this a fire? So Chaim Moshe Grozovsky says, yeah, it's fire. And he held very strongly like that, that that's considered fire. Others say not like that, preferably, you know, to get a candle, and not to use electricity.
Even if you don't have Shabbos candles, you really can, like, be, you know, say, turning on your light switch.
So for Friday night, for Shabbos candles, that is more lenient. Why? Because Friday night, we don't need fire. We need light. So electricity, the Paiskim say that electricity is 100% good for candles Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Moshe Feinstein says you don't make a bracha when you light with electricity to fulfill it. So you're in a hospital, in a hotel, or something like that, and you fulfill your obligation with electricity. So you, there, it's 100% okay because we don't need fire, we need light. But on Matzah Shabbos, we need fire specifically. So there it gets more of a complicated question. Are these electricity, is that considered fire? So again, Chaim Ozer Grozovsky says even that is considered fire. Others disagree, so that's where Havdalah could be more strict in regards to that. In a situation where a person makes Havdalah on Sunday, then, like we said, you make Havdalah on Sunday, but you do not do the bracha of Psamim or Ner, or the fire. Because fire, for sure, you don't do, because the whole point is only on Matzah Shabbos. If you're making Havdalah on Sunday, then there's no point in doing Havdalah. But the place can say, also for the Psamim, once the Neshama Yisrael already left, then it already left, it's on Sunday, really, it doesn't help to smell the psamim, you know, in regards to the Neshama Yisera. Okay, I think that's basically it for Havdalah.
How do you extinguish your candle?
I'm sorry?
How do you extinguish your Havdalah candle?
So I dip it in the wine. You pour it in the wine. But you don't. I don't think you have to. I mean, that's also, I think, it's not a halacha. I think it's a nice thing. It's based on...
We learned somewhere that we don't do birthday candles because your mama shouldn't blow out a flame because
okay, so that's what I mean. It's exactly what I mean, that that's not a halacha, you know. That's a nice thing. It's I don't know if we call it Kabbalah, but that's a beautiful thing that we don't blow out a candle, you know. But that's not a halacha, you know.
Okay.
Even a
so
candle of a mitzvah.
Blow out the
technically, yeah, but it's a nice thing. You dip it in the wine. The reason why by candles Friday night, there is. Right, so there is a much more of a complicated issue as far as blowing out the candle, because perhaps when you lit the candles, even though you didn't make your bracha yet, but there are those that say that already by lighting the candles, you already accepted Shabbos. We discussed that before? I'm not sure. Sorry?
Like I light my candles, and I never know where to put it, so I just drown it on the side. Can I use the candles in the cups?
Okay,
so
yeah, so do I.
So I take, let's say, my match or whatever, I just drop it inside that area.
Oh, okay. My wife just puts it on the tray. We have a tray, and she puts it on the tray, and of course the tray has a lot of stains now because of it, but she just places it down, and it goes up by itself.
You definitely can't go like that.
So you shouldn't, preferably, you shouldn't do like that.
Okay.
According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're allowed to, because Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that you accept Shabbos with the bracha. So since you didn't make your bracha yet, it's not Shabbos for you yet, because you make the bracha afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other places that say not like that. Other places say you accept Shabbos ready with the lighting of the candles.
Right.
So preferably we don't go ahead and blow it out. We just place it down and it goes out by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.